Lego.
Welcome to Raw is OG.
Hatch, man, you know the fuck that nigga playing with me, man.
DJ, hit me. Yes, sir. What's poppin' with y'all? Welcome back to another motherfucking episode of the Thin Line Between Genius and Insanity podcast. Hosted by yours truly, OG. Now spin that fucking block, man. Spin that motherfucker right now. Spin that motherfucking me block, man, for them hating ass niggas in the back. Them badass bitches with the big old booty.
Wow.
Oh, God. Let them know your boy's always
for the bitches, nigga. For the bitches, nigga.
Let them know your boy always been the flyest, highest, coolest, smoothest host of them all. Oh, gee. Hatch, me who the fuck it is, man. What's up with the people all around the world? What's up with y'all, man? Hopefully out there looking good, feeling good, staying safe. Miss a whole lot of shit going on in the trench, man. Each and every motherfucking episode. With a shout out to everybody around the world that's tapped and joined the conversation, man. I truly appreciate all the love and support, man. Keep building this empire brick by motherfucking me brick. Episode 184, man. Jesus fucking Christ, man. The grind do not motherfucking me stop. On the grind of 200, man. This shit ain't stopping for a fucking soul. I'm gonna be honest with you. This is a different type of air I'm breathing in. You know, the episode 184 is a different type of air, B.
Wow.
I'm different, Yante. This shit different, man. I feel very motherfucking accomplished right now. I'm be honest with you. Look, man, it's a lot of shit. You know what I'm saying? Over these last couple of nice little handful of last handful of episodes, I should say. You know, I've come here and I've talked about a lot of my personal shit going on in my personal life. You know, some family shit. To being a victim of a hate crime, you know what I'm saying? Financial shit, having two jobs and shit like that. All types of shit, bro. I come here and I talk about everything. And I feel very comfortable in doing that just because, you know what I'm saying? This podcast, yes, I know this podcast reaches many, many different corners of the earth. And I'm very, very happy about that. Like, it blows my mind when I see certain stats. Like, yesterday I was at work and I just happened to just look up on some stats on my analytics. And seeing how many impressions that I hit in the last 30 motherfucking me days. I had never even looked at that stat before. So I had never even known what the fuck that was. And just to see it, the podcast on Spotify alone, only on Spotify, the podcast has reached over 5.6 thousand impressions in the last motherfucking me 30 days.
Wow.
Matter of fact, give yourself a round of applause. Fuck it. Come on, man. Hey. But we humble, though. We ain't, you know what I'm saying? We're not going to get carried away with that shit. 5.6 is 5.6. Now it's time to go for motherfucking 10. Now it's to go for 20. You know what I'm saying? So on and so forth. But to know that the podcast has reached 5.6 thousand impressions in the last 30 days. And when I look deeper into the analytics, yes, a lot of those from my show appearing on home screens of people's Spotify and them being tapped in that way. Also, over 3.5 thousand of those impressions were actual people searching up my motherfucking me show.
Wow.
Those people tapping into the actual motherfucking me show. Hold on, drop a wow. What the
wow.
Fuck? Give me a double wow.
Wow.
Give me a double wow. Come on now. Come on now. To know that the people are telling a friend to tell a friend and OG got a motherfucking me show. I'm deeply motherfucking me humble. I'm very motherfucking me shocked at the motherfucking me growth of the show. I'm very motherfucking me shocked that people are actually tapping into the fucking conversation. Honestly, that's me being humble. I'm really not fucking out. I'm not shocked.
Wow.
I know I cook crack, bro. I know I'm good at what the fuck I do. But I also know that there's people out there that look like me, think like me, and act like me. And also I know that there's people out there that just want to motherfucking me break from fucking reality. They want to hear somebody talk about the fucked up shit that's going on in the world, but also have some type of funny spin on it. And I'm be honest with you, I don't try to do this funny spin shit on purpose. But I gotta be honest, when I listen back and edit this shit, I be laughing too.
Wow.
I be rolling like a motherfucker too. And a lot of motherfucking time, people growing up say it's corny to laugh at your own joke. Shit, if I don't think I'm funny, how the fuck can I think somebody else think I'm funny? But with all that being said, I want to say thank you. to all the friends of the motherfucking Meshuggah, because without you, these analytics wouldn't be a thing. These numbers wouldn't be numbering. We wouldn't be reaching the motherfucking people we reaching. Without you guys, I don't know if I would have the energy to keep making sure I come in here amidst all my bullshit going on. I don't know if 3 years ago, 2 years ago, early on in this journey of the motherfucking me show, I don't know if two jobs in, tired as a motherfucker, moping around, all this other shit going on in my life, I don't know if I would still muster up the motherfucking me shrimp to put together a docket to go get motherfucking equipment when I shouldn't be getting that motherfucking equipment. I don't know if I will be doing those things, but right now, today, on motherfucking me November 1st, 2023, IOG Hash can tell all the friends of the show, I am fully committed to you. And without you guys getting me through these tough times, I don't know where the fuck I would be. Quite honestly, I know where I would be, and I don't feel comfortable saying it on air.
Wow.
That's the fucked up part. But moving the fuck on. I do want to get into some shit that's been trending on social media lately. You know, I came across this video. Former number one draft pick Joe Smith. Joe Smith and his wife was having this conversation. And in this conversation, it was revealed that Joe Smith's wife secretly had an OnlyFans account.
Wow.
Joe was back there going through his things, giving his girl his all, his heart, letting her know his fucked up, his true emotions was showing. And she was recording the whole conversation. She's using this as a clout moment as he's back there talking about, damn, it's fucked up. I'm just now finding out you got an OnlyFans. Look, man, there's so many layers to this situation. One, let's get the obvious out the way. Why is Joe Smith, a former one, number one draft pick in the NBA, why is his girl having to do OnlyFans to remain financially stable? That's the question that a lot of people are asking. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not surprised that's the case. I've came on this podcast plenty of times. And I talked about the athletes of yesteryear and where they weren't financially smart. There weren't they just didn't handle money the right way. They weren't educated financially. Let's just say that. Yeah, I understand. People from our community, man. Look, man, now in 2023, it seems to be the case that a lot of us are getting a lot of fucking money. And we kind of used to getting money at this point in time. But nigga, in the 90s, the 80s, come on, man. In the 80s, the NBA was a fucking crack-infested league. I'm not surprised that niggas in the 90s who was getting that motherfucking big money, I'm not surprised that the majority of them niggas wasn't financially sound. They didn't have OGs to teach them what the fuck to do. The athletes of the early 2000s had the Michael Jordan model, the fucking Magic Johnson model. And the athletes of 2010s had the early 2000s. 2020s had the 2010s, so on and motherfucking me, so forth. So when it comes to the whole financial situation, I understand why Joe Smith's fucked up. I understand why Joe Smith's house had fucking roaches in it. If you didn't
know. Wow.
Yes, shout out to Susie. She pointed the shit out on Twitter and the shit went viral, right? When I first watched the video, I didn't see no fucking roaches. But when she pointed out that there was roaches crawling around this nigga's house, the moment she said that, you can see roaches on ceilings, you can see all types of shit. At that moment in time, I clearly understood why Joe Smith's wife was popping that pussy on OnlyFans.
Wow.
It's roaches, my nigga. Like, if it's roaches, it's some other shit going on. But the thing about this is, you know, as a young man, when I see married couples go through certain shit that me as a single man, I go through. Like, I remember I was just talking to a chick, right? And I found out she had a secret OnlyFans account.
Wow.
I was like, what the fuck? Like, that just, like, I've known, we've talked about so much shit. And then it came up on some slip-up shit where she revealed she had a secret OnlyFans account. Where she's doing shit, not revealing her motherfucking me face and all types of shit like that. And I'm just sitting there like, damn, like, look, I know when OnlyFans first started popping up, I had a certain feeling about it. I was like, come on, man, that's prostitution. I still feel like it's prostitution. You just being more discreet about the shit. It's not, honestly, if you cutting out hot and not showing your face, you just being more discreet about selling that pussy. But if you on there showing your face and gobbling straight dicks and shit like that, we can see your fucking, we can see you, bitch. We see your dental work and that dental plan you got, then bitch, you just a prostitute. Early on, I had a lot to say about those type of women. But I gotta be honest with you, bro. When you see the amount of money that's flowing through that industry and people is fucking for free anyway, when you see the amount of money, I'm not finna sit here and act like that shit ain't crossed my mind. Fam, I got cameras all around this bitch.
Wow.
Come on, man. You know how many times I done bloop, turned that bitch on? We recording this shit for free anyway. We watching it back in our spare time. I just always think about shit down the line and talk myself out of shit. But as a married man, for you to find out your wife has a secret OnlyFans account, that should be grounds for divorce. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Because it's not even about, she spread out the whole my body, my choice bullshit. That's cool. If you want to do that, that's totally fine. But now as your husband, this is where we end. Because you're not finna be popping that pussy on internet. Because somebody donated $50 to you finna be popping that pussy. You sticking foreign objects up your pussy now. And you think as your husband, I'm supposed to sit back and be fine with this? Especially, I'm your husband. I'm somebody of stature. I'm the former number one draft pick of the NBA, bitch.
Wow.
It's only so many people that can say that happened to them. I'm in a room with LeBron James. Motherfucker, me, this Victor Wembanyama nigga everybody talking about? Yeah, I'm rubbing elbows with him, bitch. Shaquille O'Neal. It's only certain motherfuckers I'm rubbing elbows with. She talking about you know who I was before you met me. And you totally like, that's the God honest truth. If you met a woman in a strip club, you met her, she was popping that pussy, and just because you think you got some paper, and she comes off that pole and come be with you, when times get hard again, she only going to resort to back to what she know.
Wow.
That's like niggas in the hood, niggas who motherfucking me, who only, you know, who go in and out of prison. All these niggas know is selling dope. All these niggas know is, you know what I'm saying, robbing niggas and all that bullshit. So it's always a common motherfucking me case that these niggas are catch is the first one. It's gonna be a repeat offender of the same shit all the motherfucking me time. When they come to hustling and shit like that, because that's a lot of times, that's the only thing motherfuckers know. So when times get hard, all she know is, I know this pussy work. If she still look good, because don't get me wrong, Joe Smith, your wife still looked good. She looking in the mirror all day, every day, knowing she still got it. Knowing she still can pop that pussy if she needs to. And the whole time, she needed to. You know, it's deep, bro, because she also made an interview appearance or a video revealing that Joe Smith has left the motherfucking me house. Joe Smith, he left her. Right? He can't deal with that shit. Rightfully motherfucking me so. Because now the whole motherfucking me world knows that. Wait a minute. Not only is your wife doing this behind your back, nigga, you broke.
Wow.
Like you have emasculated this man. That conversation alone would have been a lot for a man to handle. That discovery alone would be a lot for a man to handle. But the simple fact that this man is telling it, he's having this discussion with you, he's clearly upset about this shit. He's clearly emotional about this shit. The simple fact that you want to pull your camera out and record this shit shows not only him, but the entire world how you truly felt about that nigga.
Wow.
You wasn't there for love, shorty. You were there for what that man provided for you. Because you didn't hesitate to emasculate that man, embarrass that man, let the whole entire world know he not providing for you to the point to where you gotta go pop that motherfucking meat pussy.
Wow.
That's what you doing. And not only did you do that, you continuing to do it by going and go do interviews and doing and record more videos talking about how he left the fucking house. What did you expect this man to do? He can't show up at no month. Think about this. You know NBA All-Star Weekend is a thing, right? like NBA All-Star Weekend comes around, all the NBA legends come through and shit like that. It wouldn't be a motherfucking me shocker to see Joe Smith at motherfucking me All-Star Weekend. He's an alumni. He, bitch, he's a former number one draft pick. He can't go around his motherfucking me, his boys no more. He can't pop up at NBA All-Star Weekend. He got to go sit his ass down somewhere. Because not only do we know he not fucking having no more, nigga, your wife is fucking popping that pussy. She don't respect you. Your fucking house is infested with roaches, B. That's what they saying to you now. So it's like, at a certain point in time, as a man, you know, we become sensitive to shit like this. Because as a kid, you know, I would laugh at this shit. I was like, nigga, look at this broke ass nigga. He can't control this. But I would have been laughing at Joe Smith. But I can honestly say, bro, as a 28-year-old man, as someone who truly values communication, you know what I'm saying? I value the respect and the appreciation of someone letting down their walls and inviting you into their personal space and you possibly becoming their person. When I see shit like this as being done behind, it reminds me of the Drake album. And I know you probably like, what the fuck are you talking about? You know this Drake album, For All the Dog Shit, right? The Drake album didn't hit to me at first when it first dropped because the shit he was talking about, I really wasn't going through. Like, yeah, I peeped and they, okay, you talking about a bitch that did you kind of, she did you quote unquote dirty. Now you on some dirty, grimy shit. Now you on some fuck that bitch, some get back shit. It is what it is shit. Cool. When the album first came out, I wasn't really jacking with the shit. But ironically, a week or two later, that same kind of shit was playing out in my own personal life. That motherfucker, me Drake album became the hardest shit out, brother.
Wow.
So it's like when I see videos like this of a man finding out some wild ass shit that's being done behind his back, and it's just like, damn, bitch, this is what you're doing. I had to reflect on my own personal life. Because, yeah, bitch running around telling me I'm so committed to you. Sure, I never even told you to be committed to me. But the simple fact you out here, you voluntarily willing to start going around this motherfucker telling me you committed to me and all this shit, telling your people about me and all this shit, and all the motherfucker, a bottle of Casamigos got you turned all types of loose. Bitch, be gone. I don't want nothing to do with you. This ain't the space for you. So it's like when that's going on in my personal life, and I see an actual married man find out that his wife is doing these tricks and things online for anonymous men. The nigga talking about how fucked up it was. A bitch looked him dead in his eyes and said, OnlyFans be breaking her off.
Wow.
The bitch said, OnlyFans be breaking her off. And my question is, how much is OnlyFans truly breaking you off if what you were getting from OnlyFans wasn't drastically changing your situation? Because he wasn't finding out that you had an OnlyFans because, you know what I'm saying, certain shit was getting paid around that motherfucker. Like, was you only doing OnlyFans to get the money to what? Be able to go to brunch with your fucking girls on a Sunday?
Wow.
To go shop on Shein till you motherfucking me drop? Bitches really be buying shit on Shein. That shit is cheap as fuck. Like, let's really talk about it. How much was you truly getting on OnlyFans if it wasn't drastically changing your fucking living situation? Because it's roaches crawling all over your motherfucking me rooftop, baby. You got roaches and shit dangling from your ceiling and shit. Joe look like he ain't ate a fucking good meal in weeks. That nigga cheekbones was showing through his fucking... Like, what is OnlyFans truly doing for you? Because now you want to emasculate and embarrass your fucking husband. Are you trying to promote your shit? What are we truly doing here? I feel bad for the nigga Joe, man. I truly do. I do feel bad for the nigga, man, because not only was he one of those number one draft picks who truly shouldn't have been a number one draft pick, now he's a nigga in post-career when nobody was thinking about no fucking Joe Smith. Now he's going to be known for the nigga who wasn't having no more, whose wife looked at him and no longer respected him. For a nigga who's now considered a broke boy. Like, what, nigga, what happened to you financially to where the woman you took from who didn't have shit growing up, you took her and changed her motherfucking me life. You still got the house. What the fuck is truly going on behind closed doors to where she thought she had to start showing that pussy and fucking on camera to save y'all? What the fuck is truly going on, Joe?
Wow.
We got to get a motherfucking a pension, an insurance or something for these former players. Bro, I've been hearing these athletes talk about it for years now, bro. And I don't know why that Joe Smith situation just feels so weird to me. Because it's like, yeah, this nigga was a number one draft pick in the 90s. He was a number one draft pick in the 90s type. No, you know what? Let me look it up, bro. We finna see. When the fuck was Joe Smith drafted? When the fuck was Joe Smith drafted, bro? Because I don't even think it was in the 90s, to be real with you. If it was the 90s, it was like 99 or some shit. Let me just see real fast. Let me see, bro. Joe Smith. That's American basketball player. Let's see, bro. Joe motherfucking me Smith. Damn, brother. This nigga, you know a nigga career ain't shit. You can barely look a nigga up. God damn, boy. Joe Smith, let me see. All right, he was in 1995. This nigga was, oh, damn, boy. This nigga was the number one draft pick in 1995. Joe Smith should not be broke, bro. I'm going to be honest
with you. Wow.
Joe Smith should not be broke. Unless Joe Smith pulled an Antoine Walker, there's no reason why Joe Smith should be broke to the point where his wife feels the point she got to go sell that pussy for a nigga named motherfucking me, Nut Doctor 3000. On OnlyFans. Come on, man. What we doing here? I feel bad for you, Joe. Real talk. I truly motherfucking do, because now the whole world know you ain't having like that, my boy. And that's fucked up. Moving on. And let's get into this nigga DJ Academics right fast, man. You know, I fuck with Ack. I truly do fuck with Ack. You know, I feel like when in this space of content creators, you know what I'm saying? This space of live streamers, in this space of motherfucking me podcasting, in the space of motherfucking me hip hop media, Academics is in all those spaces. And he's a big fish in all those spaces. With this live streaming shit, I truly credit a lot of this shit to DJ Academics. Wasn't no niggas. When I say niggas, I mean black people. Wasn't no black people streaming. Nobody was doing that shit. Especially on Twitch. I was Academics. Niggas was calling Academics lame as fuck. Talking about he was in his mama basement because he was Twitch. He was live streaming on Twitch for all them years. That nigga influenced niggas like me and niggas like Kai. Nigga, all these other niggas that's on Twitch and live streaming and shit. We was influenced by fucking DJ Academics, bro. That's why when niggas be like, hey, corny and all that. Yeah, I get that, man. That nigga said some shit where I look at him like, yeah, my nigga, you a little bit of a bozo. Absolutely. But I also understand that the things that he's done, I got to sit back as somebody who's trying to reach certain levels in my life. I have to sit back and acknowledge that nigga's a big motherfucking me fish. Especially as an African-American. Well, he a Jamaican-ass nigga. But as a nigga, I got to love and I got to respect it. But I don't have to agree with everything he does. I cringe every time I see Academics go off on a female. Look, bro, I don't know what the fuck is going on with that. It's weird. Academics is an equal opportunity. He does go off on men the exact same way, but it does come off a little bit different when it's against a woman. That alone, it's a woman, brother. You be going extra hard. Like, you want them the bitches to actually put hands on you. I think it's the Erykah Badu thing from Everyday Struggle that truly got that nigga in his feelings. He ain't letting bitches slide no more.
Wow.
Never again, Ack said. He got the whole beef with the City Girls thing, which is, it is what it is. The City Girls are pretty much irrelevant when it comes to music. But it's interesting that that beef is now spilled over to a beef with Saucy Santana.
Wow.
I'm be honest with you, beefing with a gay dude is crazy. Especially as a Jamaican. A Jamaican beefing with a gay dude is crazy. It's wild as fuck. Because we all know how Jamaicans feel about gay people over there in Jamaica, of course. But my question to all the friends of the show is this. If a gay dude threatens to fuck you in your ass.
Wow.
Like, what should be your actual response to that? Like, real, hear me out. What should you do? You know, like, when niggas, like, be talking shit, and they be like, man, I slap the shit out of you. And you be like, nigga, do it. I dare you to do it, nigga. I bet you won't. You know, that's your normal response. Like, nigga, I bet you won't do it. Nigga, please do it type shit. Give me a reason type shit. You know what I'm saying? But if a nigga look at you, if a nigga threatens you and say, he gonna fuck you in your ass, he gonna clap your cheeks. What the fuck can you say after that? Like, I'm not even trying to be funny. I'm generally mind fucked. I've never heard that. I've never heard a nigga say, I'm gonna beat your ass. And after that, I'm gonna clap your fucking cheeks.
Wow.
What? Man, nigga, what? Excuse me? Nigga, are you serious? Get the gun. Everybody get their gun. We finna have a shoot off in this bitch. Beefing with a gay nigga is crazy. I fought a gay nigga before, I'm gonna be honest with you.
Wow.
Didn't want to. Actually was cool with the nigga, you know what I'm saying? Never had a problem with him until that day. You know what I'm saying? He was one of them. At the time, I didn't know the nigga was gay. I thought he was just an extra flamboyant, you know what I'm saying, feminine ass nigga. I did come across his Facebook page recently. Yeah, he's clearly sucking dick. I ain't gonna lie to you. He's clearly doing the damn thing full tilt boogie this time. But back then, yeah, I had to beat his ass real quick, man. Like, I didn't even want to. I'm like, yo, bro, you cross this line, I'm gonna have to beat your ass. And like I said, me and him we was cool, you know what I'm saying? I knew his people, had a crush on his cousin and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? So we was cool and shit. And I guess he thought, because of those prior relationships, that I wouldn't actually beat his fucking ass. So once he crossed that line, we was in front of people. I couldn't act like I didn't tell him not to cross the line. So I had to beat the man's ass. Unfortunately, you know what I'm saying, 30 seconds into beating his ass, you know what I'm saying, this cousin that I had a crush on, she comes pulling up with her mom, who also had a crush on. They all come up, pulling up, seeing me beating their cousin ass. It was never the same, you know what I'm saying?
Wow.
It was just never the same. But beefing with a gay dude is fucking, it's wild, man. It's wild. I don't think that there's you can't win in that situation. Because if you actually fight Saucy Santana, and he actually beats your ass, because I don't think any of us actually think academics can fight. I've looked at academics plenty of times and just been like, do I think Ack could get active with a nigga? Absolutely not. I think Ack is about what he says he's about, that he will shoot a nigga if they run up in his shit. He do got hella guns. He do got security. He will call the cops. I respect that. But when it comes to hands, feet, elbows, and defending yourself, I don't think academics are going to be a motherfucking me tough fight for anybody. I just don't. A saucy Santana, I don't know. I ain't never seen him get loose either, but I'm saying, pause, Jesus Christ. I ain't never seen him get active either. But one thing I do know about them gay niggas be going. Pause, Jesus Christ. Them gay niggas can fight, B. And if saucy Santana beat academics' ass, that would be pretty much career suicide. Everybody be wondering what academics could say to get him canceled. He can't say shit that truly get him canceled. Because he's been like this. He's been himself for all these years. But him losing a motherfucking me run down against fucking Saucy Santana? He ain't even got to actually get penetrated by the penis.
Wow.
Just getting his ass beat with the hands. That alone would fucking kill academics' career. That's truly what the fuck I think I have. Real motherfucking me talk. Real talk, man. I think that nigga should be over. If Saucy go on that motherfucker with the left and the right and put hands on, bro, I think that'd be over for that nigga, man. Because Ack don't pop out anyway. So if Ack popped out and got beat up by Saucy Santana, oh my God. That'd be fucking treacherous. Real talk. But moving on, man. You know, I want to get to something that's very, it's very interesting. You know, there's a story that's taking place, and I'm not seeing it being covered on ESPN. I'm not seeing it being covered on fucking FS1, Fox. I'm not even seeing a large amount of people talk about this incident on social media. It's like, if you in the know, then you know what I'm saying, you know, type shit. Look, man, you can look at me and tell I play sports. I honestly believe that I would be a totally different person if I never actually joined organized sports.
Wow.
Organized sports taught me who I was. It tested me. It pushed me to levels I never would have been pushed to, primarily in the sport of wrestling. I learned a lot about myself. I learned I can actually depend on myself and get through pretty much anything if I truly just believed in my motherfucking self and put in the actual hard work. Football, similar thing. Track, similar thing. In each and every sport, I went from what in many people's eyes are nothing to, nigga, the best motherfucker there. So I always encourage people to join sports. But I think a lot of times when we talk about sports and we talk about playing sports and we talk about, you know, some getting others to play sports, we always talk about one side of the shit. Because even when we're talking about, you know, some our predictions and stuff like that, we always say, assuming everybody's healthy. When it's never a good assumption to assume everybody will be healthy. Because when the fuck is everybody healthy? Never even seen 80% healthy. Never seen it. Never fucking seen it. Any sport. Pick a sport, goddammit. So when we talk about sports, man, we always only talk about one side of it, man. And we never talk about the injuries. And when we talk about injuries, I'm talking about career-ending injuries. And there's levels above career-ending injuries where we say life-threatening injuries. You know, more recently, we all know about the DeMar Hamlin situation, you know, that took place last season. I'm on a primetime game. You know what I'm saying? Very sad situation. Very normal collision. Something that takes place every motherfucking we play. And cardiac arrest. We all heard about the Bronny situation up there at practice with USC. Cardiac motherfucking arrest. We heard about the young man a few weeks after Bronny's situation. He was in high school. I believe he was in high school, I believe. Cardiac arrest, unfortunately passed away. Let's see. What's another sporting event that took place in front of millions of people and we watched someone die? Oh, how about Owen fucking Hart fell to his motherfucking death in front of a live audience on a live taping? But when we talk about these sports, we never actually talk about that side. You may be sitting there saying, yo, Hatch, why the fuck are you talking about death? Yo, fam, I came across this fucking clip in hockey, and I got to be honest with you. It's probably some of the most disturbing shit I've ever seen in my fucking life.
Wow.
Look, man, I don't play. I don't fuck with the ice rink. I don't fuck with none of that shit. Because I've always been afraid of them sharp-ass skating blades slicing niggas' necks open. Fam, goddammit, this shit just happened. There's a video that's circulating out there right now of a Matt, what's his name? What's the man's name? Matt Petgrave. He fucking Bruce Lee, Liu Kang flying kicked, you know what I'm saying? A nigga in his motherfucking me neck. What's the young man that died? His name was Adam Johnson. Fam, I ain't never seen no shit like this. People trying to sit here and say if it's an accident or if it's intentional. Look, I don't play fucking hockey. I don't roller skate. I don't ice skate. I don't take place in those type of events. But I ain't never seen a motherfucker that was doing those events ever come close to somebody and fucking lift their leg up to kick a motherfucker in the neck.
Wow.
Ain't no fucking reason why both your feet shouldn't be on the motherfucking ground, brother. I've never, to see this fucking video and to see the lack of coverage it's truly getting, it got me questioning if the shit even real or not. Is this shit AI generated? Why is this not being broadcasted on ESPN? Man, fuck Patrick Mahomes slump. Fuck Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. Fuck Jerry Jones on getting on a fucking radio channel every motherfucking meet Monday and giving y'all topics to talk about. Talk about this young man who was just murdered. I can't believe this shit. Y'all, I've never looked. Like I told you, I don't play hockey. I don't do the rugby shit. I don't do none of those sports where I just think it's too fucking barbaric. Y'all niggas gliding around at 60 miles per hour on fucking metal bladed skates. You gotta be fucking kidding me, swinging around sticks and shit. Are you fucking kidding me? He literally was skating towards this man and fucking kicked him in the fucking throat, man. I don't know. Look, man. Because the thing is, man, you know, a lot of times, man, look, man, I'm black, bro. So a lot of times, man, when shit happens in our community and we feel like we're not getting the proper, you know what I'm saying, the police aren't doing their job properly. You know, we're not getting answers fast enough. You know what I'm saying? That we feel like, you know, we're getting treated unfairly, shit like that. I can sympathize with this nigga, man. What's my man's name again? I gotta get my boy's name again. I can sympathize with man because my brother, you're dead now. Adam Johnson is dead now. My nigga, when you see him getting up and he holding his neck and his teammates run over there holding his fucking neck and you see the fucking blood just oozing out this man's fucking neck.
Wow.
Come on, man. You talking about niggas talking about it gotta be manslaughter. Manslaughter.
Wow.
What the fuck you mean, manslaughter? We got this shit on 3,000 different fucking camera angles. And it's blowing my mind because why is this the only video footage we have of this shit?
Wow.
Why is there not HD 4K motherfucking me video footage of this shit? Why is this being shown from a fucking me a different angle? Why is this not being talked about? The sport of hockey, NHL itself, should be in the forefront of this shit. They should be making sure this young man receives the justice he truly deserves. Fuck a hard check. I know all about giving niggas a hard check, bro. I seen the motherfucking me Mighty Ducks too, nigga. I know about giving nigga a hard check, nigga. I know all about it. At no point in time is your fucking me foot supposed to be going up towards a nigga's fucking neck.
Wow.
Who the fuck nigga think he the water boy or something? What the fuck is this? Man, I can't but look, man. Look, man. We always talk about, you know what I'm saying, the championships, the camaraderie, you know what I'm saying, what the game brings you. Man, that nigga's dead now, bro. He's dead, bro. Playing the sport that he loved. Playing the fucking sport that he fucking loved. When he woke up that morning, he didn't fucking know he was going to be playing some deranged, barbaric-ass, idiot motherfucker who was going to be slicing necks. He didn't know that. It's blowing my mind, though, how this is not on First Take. How this is not on Fox. Fuck the football season. Fuck Victor Wembanyama. Fuck James Harden going to the Clippers, which we about to get into. Fuck all that. Nigga, murder just took place in the middle of the motherfucking rink. You know how many times I done clicked on fucking Sky Van Pelt late at night? I'm not tired, yeah. Oh, you know how many times I done clicked on that nigga late at night and he didn't show the fucking scuffle in hockey? You know how many times I done seen that? I haven't seen one fucking media coverage. Not one of this fucking murder that just took place. I can't believe it, bro. Look, I feel for that young man's family because at a certain point in time, we have to think about, yes, they lost a loved one, but not only did they lose a loved one, they lost a loved one in dramatic fashion, tragic fashion. They lost a loved one with thousands and thousands of witnesses. They're losing a loved one, and quite honestly, it's not getting the appropriate attention it truly deserve. This isn't a motherfucking me, you know what I'm saying, Pee-wee League, YMCA League ass motherfucking me game. This the NHL. These is professionals. What the fuck is we, what? These niggas getting paid what? This is a billion-dollar company, and there's product out there murdering other product in front of thousands of people, let alone how many people is probably watching the goddamn game. RIP, man. Send my prayers and condolences to friends, family, fans, anybody that's met this young man impacted, you know what I'm saying, in a positive way, man, because I remember when I was young, right? And it was the Steelers versus who the fuck ever. And I had always told y'all, man, I'm a Ron Clark guy, you know, so I always fuck with Ron Clark. Like I always say, if you're a Bears fan, you fuck with the Ravens, you fuck with the Steelers. Like, to me, those three teams got a lot in common type shit. Well, they win way more than we do, but still. The DNA back in the day with the Urlachers and Lance Briggs and all that shit. In Pittsburgh, you had that phenomenal defense. Lawrence Timmons, Polamalu's, Ryan Clark's, you know what I'm saying, Harrison, all them niggas. With the Ravens, you know what I'm saying, Ray Lewis. You know what I'm saying? Ed Reed, you know what I'm saying? The big ugly nigga up front to Suggs, Holy Nada. Like, those three teams to me always had certain shit in common. That's why I always felt like you can play for the Bears, you can play for the Ravens, you can play for the Ravens, you can play for the goddamn Steelers. When I seen Ron Clark hit whoever the fuck that was, and I seen Ron Clark laying there on the ground, as a kid, I thought that nigga was dead, bro. And when I seen him go, he was probably the first athlete I had ever had that experience of him laying on the ground for hellas, like not moving. Then they go to commercial, and it's like a 10-minute goddamn me commercial break. And then they come back, and that nigga still on the motherfucking me ground.
Wow.
Like, that was Ron Clark for me. I thought Ron Clark was fucking dead, bro. And every time I see Ron Clark on TV now doing a phenomenal job, clearly being a new face of you know what I'm saying, of media, of black media, him winning ESPYs, him doing the UFC podcast, him doing the NFL live shit, him doing this fucking thing. Every time I see that man on camera, I say, damn, I remember I thought that nigga was dead.
Wow.
And that may be fucked up to say, but I remember I thought that nigga was dead, brother. He was the first person I had that as a kid. And I remember I always thought about that. And I always said, I never want to be in that situation. I always said, I'm never going to leave with my fucking head when I tackle. And I know a lot of us want those big thudding hits, but that shit scarred me for life. That's why I never truly had a dream of wanting to go pro. That hit right there, I said, nah, fuck that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to fucking do that. No guarantee, I don't want to do that. But he was the first athlete I've seen that happen to. I've never actually seen somebody die. I know it's fucked up to say, but I had always said in my mind, in the game of basketball, I said, it'd be wild, as much basketball as I watch, I've never seen a player, you know, run up and down the court and actually just pass the fuck out and collapse. We've heard the story about the guys back in the days that happened to. And more recently, I was thinking about the shit probably a couple days before the news came out about Bronny. I always say, in basketball, I've never seen that before. But I know about those things happening. I only know about basketball, football, maybe a little bit of soccer. You know what I'm saying? You see dirty hits in soccer all the time. But to see hockey, to see a nigga slice another man's neck open and kill him? Come on, man. Certain shit, I don't think. After seeing that, I don't think I will ever truly forget that. Because when I think about hockey, I think about, you know, oh, they let them niggas fight. That's the only thing I think a lot of us truly know about hockey. That's the sport where they, like, let them fight a little bit. But when you see a nigga get his fucking neck sliced open, and then you just think about how often that truly could happen. Because I'm not going to sit here and say whether or not this was intentional or not. I know what it looks like in my eyes, but I don't know what it's like to be fucking flying that fast on ice. You know what I'm saying? Looking for contact, thinking contact is coming. I don't know what it's like, bro. And I don't know what a motherfucker's doing in a split-second decision, what somebody's thinking. I don't want to put that on that man, say he fucking purposely murdered that man or purposely tried to fucking slice his neck. I don't know. I don't know what led that man to lift his leg up in the air like that. I don't know what made him do that, but he did it. And God damn it, somebody's dead now. And it's even more fucked up that the man who did the fucking Bruce Lee kick had to be fucking black.
Wow.
I didn't even know there was that many niggas in the sport of hockey in the NHL for the probability for this shit to be a black on white crime. Like, what the fuck, brother? Then you would think this was white on white crime. Absolutely not. It's some dumb nigga who fucking Bruce Lee, Jet Lee kicking niggas out there on a goddamn ice rink, man. I just, look, man, I just want to say rest and motherfucking me peace, man. Real motherfucking me talk. But moving on, man. Let's get into the Clippers right fast before we get up out of here. You know, the Clippers broke news, man. Halloween, they did the trade to get James Harden. They traded away some Lay's chips, some Chips Ahoy's cookies, the soft kind. Probably a Capri Sun. And a motherfucking New Jersey Mike sub for that nigga, bro.
Wow.
They traded absolutely fucking nothing. I don't understand how they keep doing this shit. Is that Jerry West still? I know he like a fucking, he in the office, but I don't think he actually got like an actual job for real. I think he just like on some cool shit with them, some liaison type shit. They always trading and getting niggas and don't have to give nobody up. How the fuck they still got Norman Powell? Bone Tyler, motherfucking me, Terrence, man, Kawhi, PG, you still got Russ?
Wow.
How the fuck is EV, you still got Zubac?
Wow.
How is that possible? There's no way you finna tell me you niggas took a trade for James Harden for fucking one of the Morris twins. We don't even know which one that fucking is. Nicholas Batum? That nigga, Nicholas Batum? And who the fuck, was it Robert Covington? Are you fucking serious?
Wow.
And I know the draft picks is phenomenal, but to think that they didn't have to really give up nothing as far as players, I thought they was at least going to have to throw Russ in the deal, because it doesn't make sense to have Russ and James Harden. I actually like what Russ has been doing with the Clippers. It's funny to me just because he's doing the same thing that he was doing for the Lakers. It's just that Clipper games aren't even played on TV for real. Niggas don't really be knowing what the Clippers is doing for real. Unless they playing a fucking marquee team or something like that. The Clippers don't really make no noise for real. So yeah, he playing in LA, but he ain't really getting that fucking LA love. When you play for the Lakers, nigga, we talking about winning championships. Not only do you play for the Lakers, you playing with LeBron James, who championships. This nigga trying to chase Jordan. So it was a whole bunch of factors going into why that shit just didn't play out for that nigga. But I like what he got going for the motherfucking for the Clippers. When you see all four of these niggas on the team, and you see what the Clippers had to give up to get this man, the Clippers have sold they motherfucking me sold. They don't own the control over their draft picks for first or second round for the next 6 years.
Wow.
All four of these players are going to be free agents after this season. Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Russell Westbrook, James Harden.
All wow.
All fucking free agents. You moving into a new arena next season. Finally. But why would you move into a new arena with four free agents? You're not bringing all four of these niggas back. You're not doing that. You would have already extended Kawhi and PG if you truly wanted them back. This has been a failed motherfucking me experiment when it comes to PG and Kawhi, which I said when the shit happened. These is two niggas who never motherfucking me stay healthy. That's why I say, yo, whatever LeBron and AD do from here on out, as much as a true diehard Laker fan, yes, it'll pain me each and every motherfucking me loss. Absolutely. But I can still sit back knowing good and goddamn well, my niggas delivered. Say what the fuck you want to say. My niggas got a chip. I'm cool with that. At the end of the day, LeBron old as fuck. It can be over any. It can be over tonight type shit. It can happen. It can happen. He's already signed, sealed, and delivered as arguably the best to ever fucking tie up a pair of shoes, bro. Like, it don't matter who you talking to. He's in that conversation. He's in that. And we know over the next 10 to 15 years, that's even going to get louder. Because the Jordan motherfuckers, they going to start dying and shit. Them niggas is old as fuck now.
Wow.
Them niggas is old as fuck. But I don't see this working on some, they got the trade and all of a sudden they should be the favorites. Absolutely not. Because there is going to be that aspect of, okay, y'all thought Russ was unhappy with the Lakers because of his role. Y'all think it's working because now with the Clippers, he know his role. Cool, okay. How do you think that's going to work now that the ball's going to be taken out of his hands even more to be in James Harden's hands? What are you going to do with Russell Westbrook? And it's not even just Russ. I don't even, because I don't like how everybody's trying to single him out. Like he's the only one who's going to be a problem. Yes, offensively, he's going to be challenged. He can't shoot. He can't fucking shoot. Like, it's not even fucking funny. He can't shoot. He's been shooting on the same hoops for 12 damn seasons at least, and he still ain't used to them bitches. Like, he just don't. He think they changed them every motherfucking quarter or some shit. Yes, the ball's going to be out of his hand. It may be a problem sending him to the bench because ultimately you're going to have to do that. Because starting all four of them, what are you getting out of that lineup? What are you truly getting out of a lineup of Russell Westbrook, James Harden, Kawhi Leonard, and Paul George, who Ivica Zubac? What are you getting out of that lineup? This ain't 2K, bro. This is not a fucking 2K team where you can just, you know what I'm saying, put the sliders down all the way up and go crazy with the shit. No. You finna have who? James Harden playing point? Okay, you finna have Russ spotting up in the corner? Are you serious? Oh, no, let me guess. You're gonna put him in a dunker spot. Okay. Yeah, old fucking K. When James Harden start patting that bitch four or five times and do a little step back, you gonna have Kawhi Leonard on the wing and PG on the other one with their hands out just waiting? Or let me guess, when Russ ain't got the fucking ball in four or five possessions and he get the fucking rebound and run 35 miles per hour up and down the court out of control, then fucking what? Oh, let me guess, in the playoffs when fucking Paul George ain't getting enough touches for real, and his fucking shoulders is hurting again. He gonna need surgery again, huh? Oh, but y'all really think Kawhi finna last the whole season? Come on, man. The Clippers is fucked.
Wow. The
Clippers are fucked, bro. Like, I ain't gonna lie to you. I liked them before this whole James Harden shit. This James Harden trade don't do shit for me. I think they gonna go as far as they probably would have went without him. They have a better chance of not going as far because they do have him. Because let's just keep it a buck. When it comes playoff time, you don't really have to guard Russ for real. When it comes playoff time, you know James gonna fucking underachieve like always. When it comes playoff time, you know Paul George, come on, man. Playoff P, is we really talking about playoff P? And I don't even think fucking Kawhi gonna fucking be there. Like,
wow.
I don't like that all this shit. It was stupid. All this shit was just stupid, top to bottom, from a general manager aspect of it. You have no free, you have no draft picks. You're moving into a whole new fucking stadium. These niggas gonna be free agents. So not only if these niggas had some years left on their deals, and if it didn't work this year, you can flip some niggas to some more pieces to move into your new arena and shit like that. At this moment in time, if this shit goes how a majority of us think this shit will go, nowhere near it, not a championship. You're going to have four free agents. Let's say one or two of these niggas come back. You may bring back a James Harden. You may bring back a Paul George. I don't think, I don't know. Kawhi may stay, Paul George may leave. You're not bringing back three of these niggas. You just not happening. Unless you keep getting Russ to keep taking these fucking pennies on the dollar. It's not going to happen, man. It's truly not going to motherfucking be happening. It's not going to work. So this shit, this was a desperate move. It was a desperate fucking move. And I get it because as a franchise who is moving to a new arena, I can see Steve Ballmer saying, I want to win this bitch right fucking now.
Wow.
I want to hang. I want to move into my shit, hanging up a motherfucking me banner. I get it. But I do understand that you have to think about long term. And when you don't have control over your draft picks for the next 6 years, and ain't not one of these niggas in their 20s, all these niggas in their fucking early to middle 30s, and they all got injury history except for one nigga who just can't fucking shoot. He can't shoot. He can't take care of the ball. He's a fucking head case. All these other niggas get hurt religiously. You really think James Harden hamstrings gonna make it? Do we? Do we really? Especially off doing the same thing he been doing all these other years. Fucking off in the fucking offseason. In and out of motherfucking me training camps. Causing problems. That sound like a fucking me pulled hammy waiting to happen for that nigga all over again. Come on, man. It's desperate moves, man. It's a desperate move. But sometimes those desperate moves do pay off. And I ain't gonna sit here and act like the fucking me NBA not wide open. I think the NBA is wide open right now. I think a lot of teams don't look like how we thought they would look. And I think some teams are somewhat surprising. I didn't think Denver would start off 4-0, but they are here, my nigga. And it's gonna be interesting to see, but sometimes those desperate moves do pay off. You can't be scared to go big, but long term, this is not a good move for those fucking Clippers. It truly isn't. But we shall see at the end of the motherfucking me season. They play the Lakers tonight. My boy's going to get that ass, man. We gonna get our get back tonight, man. AD, 30 and 10. You heard it here first, nigga. You heard it here fucking first, man. moving on, man. Before we get the fuck up out of here, man. Just did a quick check on my parlays I got going. Yeah, shit ain't looking too good for your boy, man. Shit ain't looking good at motherfucking me all, man. But it's all right, man. It's all good. Shit happens. You know, I had a parlay that I set up yesterday, like a five-leg parlay. Four of them hit yesterday. Told myself to cash out, but I said, nah, I ain't going to do it, man. I had the Bucks to beat the Toronto Raptors tonight, man. I just felt like Giannis and Dame was going to do something crazy. I don't know what's so sketchy about them niggas, man. Every time I bail these niggas, they kind of get their ass up, bro. So I don't really know. I got to dig a little bit deeper into that, man. Ever since I started working this other job, I really haven't been so tapped in, like, the following this shit how I used to. So a lot of this shit, it's a little bit of shocking a little bit when I see certain outcomes, but maybe I really shouldn't be that shocked if I truly sat my ass down and watched these games. So I don't know, man. That's the thing with this betting shit. It was a few days I won in a row. You know, so I got a homeboy that's winning damn near every day multiple times. This betting shit, man, it's really an up and down thing with me. Specifically, so I don't think too much of it, man. I just want to have fun with the shit. If I can win at the same time, then cool. You know what I'm saying? When niggas do need some money, them wins do become a little bit more, you know what I'm saying, stressful. But at the end of the day, man, niggas just want to have fun, man, and watch some good ball. So after this show, I'll probably watch and tap into that Laker versus Clipper game. But hopefully the fucking Bucks can pull this shit on out, man. I do want to get into some shit I seen that I found that was quite interesting. So there's these new burial pods. Now, most of us, obviously, we know when people die, we think about getting them a casket and putting them in the ground. Or some of you may think about cremation and shit like that. I came across some shit that I thought was, a very good invention, but also very ironic, let's just say. You know, we've all heard that theory of when we die, we become... you know, our cells and shit like that go into the dirt, you know, and grow trees and plants and all that good shit, right? And as a kid, I was always kind of like, okay, yeah, I guess. But if it's all that is inside of a box, then how the fuck am I turning into, you know what I'm saying, food for the soil and for trees and all that good shit.
Wow.
I came across this invention that I think will take the world by storm. I think it will be a very, very new, fresher breath air. I'm sorry, breath of fresh air, I should say. For cemeteries and going to go be with your deceased loved one. I came across this new burial pod that would eventually turn the corpse of the body into a tree.
Wow.
Like an actual fucking tree. It was a burial pod. They put you in the bottom of that motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? You, over time, you eventually, you know what I'm saying, get, you know what I'm saying, mixed in with the dirt and all that shit that's inside the pod. You know, at the top, it's a root for a fucking tree to grow and sprout. I think it's a beautiful fucking idea, beautiful invention. It does make you question, is that theory about us turning to trees and plants all the time, you know, this whole time, a fucking crap of bull, a piece of bullshit? It makes you think that. But it also led to the people who created this invention. They said they created this to take away the gloomy look of an actual cemetery. I don't know how many of you guys have actually been to an actual cemetery. Hell, if you just ride past a cemetery, the shit looks fucking depressing. It just looks fucking depressing. I ain't never seen a fucking cemetery and was like, the money flowing through that bitch. No, I ain't never seen that. Every motherfucking me cemetery just looks like, you know what I'm saying? That's where the fucking me evil spirits fucking shoot dice at night. I had to picture a cemetery full of motherfucking me trees.
Wow.
Think about that. Think about going to, you know what I'm saying, a gravesite of your loved one, and it's a fucking beautiful fucking tree that's blossoming. You know what's down there. You know what this is. You know what this tree symbolizes. I think people will find more, you know what I'm saying, relief and more comfort and going to go visit a tree and going to go visit a motherfucking piece of stone. I honestly feel like that, me personally. But I do think it's a dope motherfucking me invention, bro. To see it, to think that wow, this wasn't something that people thought of already. But when you see where technology is going, man, where they finna be turning motherfuckers into trees and shit, bro. It makes you stop and pause for a bit, but at the end of the day, man, you gotta salute to shit like this, because I do think this is a great look. I do think this is a good idea. I think people will prefer this option more than fucking being cremated. Now, obviously, I think this is gonna be hella costly, hella fucking costly, but I do think this is a better option than being fucking cremated and turned to dust and shit like that. But to each his own. It's to each his own when it comes to shit like that. But I do think it's very motherfucking me dope, man. But moving on, you know, in this lifetime, I always say, man, you play a stupid game, you're going to win a stupid, you know, reward. Certain shit, you know what I'm saying, certain surprise you, you know what I'm saying, depend on the things that took place beforehand. I say that to say, man, I came across this article about this man who died weeks later after having a pig heart transplant.
Wow.
You heard me fucking right. This is the second person to have a heart transplant with receiving the heart of a fucking pig.
Wow.
I have no fucking idea who passed this shit, what doctors, what scientists. I don't know who the fuck said pigs' hearts and humans' hearts are one and the same.
Look, wow. I'll
be honest with you, even growing up, I never heard the pig being the one that was like close in the human evolution. It was always monkeys and shit. So if you're going to go get a fucking animal heart, that motherfucker better be coming out of a fucking silverback or something, nigga. If it better be coming out of a fucking ape, nigga. Don't go get no fucking swine infested ass heart. Think you finna pump that shit in my fucking chest? Are you crazy?
Wow.
No wonder this nigga's dead. Are you crazy? What the fuck did y'all expect to happen? What did y'all expect to happen? The first person y'all did this to died after like a couple of weeks. They say this person lasted like a month, maybe 2 months. Nigga, what the fuck do you think is going to happen with a heart transplant from a fucking pig?
Wow.
What the fuck? Nigga, you're not even supposed to be eating pork. You finna have a pork ass heart. These look, man, the more I do this podcast shit, you know, I realize a lot of this information I would never knew, man. I never would have knew this shit, bro, if I didn't have a scavenge the earth. You know what I'm saying? To come up and find shit. I can't believe this shit, brother. You went and got a fucking heart transplant from a doctor that told you he's going to get the fucking heart from a pig. You mean tell me it wasn't nobody else in the world with your blood type? You mean tell me there was, you could, what, where's John Q? You mean tell me there was no list? The list was that long. You wanted to go get a pig's heart? How could you even be sick and go to the doctor and tell the doctor your problems and your concerns? And a doctor look you in your motherfucking face and tell you they gonna put a fucking pig heart inside your body. How could you leave that motherfucking doctor's office and not go straight to the goddamn meat police? How could you leave that office and go home and be like, we gotta plan a road to recovery? How could you feel like that? How? Like, enlighten me. I'm not even trying to talk shit. You can't enlighten me no more. I'm sorry. I take that back. Not even trying to talk shit because you a dead motherfucker right now. You a bacon bit heart happy motherfucker right now. What did you think was going to happen? There's no way. That's like them niggas who went and got them leg surgeries that made them grow a few inches. Did y'all hear the story about the nigga who went and got the knee transplant surgery to make him look, he was like 5 inches taller and he only was like 5'9". And he wanted to play basketball and couldn't fucking dribble, couldn't do shit right. Coordination was all fucked up. All fucked up. How the fuck you think you finna be this fucking me top-notch athlete in shape, motherfucker? Because after you get heart surgery, heart transplant surgery, I'm thinking the normal mindset after that was, I got another shot at life. I'm not going to waste this. That mean, I'm finna be in the gym. I'm finna be active. I'm finna be healthy. How the fuck can you think that's a possible lifestyle after they put the heart of a fucking pig in your fucking body, man?
Wow.
Look, man, I don't know what the fuck is going on no more, man. I be feeling like this shit, some of this shit, but I just feel like it ain't real no more. Man, that whole, we live in a simulation shit, bro. That shit be sounding realer and realer every motherfucking me day, man. Because I feel like the simulation is glitching, man. Some shit that's taking place right now just don't even make sense. Like, not even a little bit. A fucking pig's heart? We've advanced that far in technology. So we could take a heart of a fucking pig and put that in a human and say, okay. Yeah, okay, man. First of all, I'm not doing no fucking surgery that only one other person before me in the entire history of the fucking world has done.
Wow.
I'm sorry, nigga. You're not touching me with that shit. Especially if that nigga's dead, too. You know, this surgery was only done on one person before me, and that person is now dead.
Wow.
That person died weeks after the goddamn knee surgery.
Wow.
And you think I'm finna sit my ass on that motherfucker? Man, you know what? You know what, man? We're gonna leave it there, man, because that what was supposed to happen was supposed to happen, man. You was trying to cheat death at that point, man. You going through lengths of you doing extreme lengths to stay alive, brother. It's over. It's your time has come. Your time is up. My time is now. You can't see me. Your time is now. Like, it's the franchise, and I'm shining. Like John Cena was knocking on your fucking door, buddy. It's over. Okay. Going on up to the upper room. Tell Eddie Murphy you here. Let him get you a table or something. God damn it. Real motherfucking me talk. But I think that's all we got, man. Let's run through the docket and make sure we didn't miss anything. We talked about Joe Smith, him finding out that his wife had a secret OnlyFans. That's just sickening. I ain't gonna lie to you. I feel bad for Joe, man. Get well soon, Joe. Also, we talked about what do you do if a gay man threatens to clap your cheeks? What is the proper response to that? Saucy Santana is on time, and I ain't gonna lie to you. I ain't never heard a gay nigga say no shit like that. I'ma beat your ass, then I'ma clap your cheeks.
Wow.
That shit sounds crazy, my nigga. That sounds like some shit. You on some real shit, you almost gotta fight that nigga just because he said that. You gotta beat that nigga the fuck up. You can't even chance it. Bring brass knuckles, bring your little homies, had them in the crowd, you know what I'm saying? Shit looking like it's gonna go down a different way. Y'all better get on his ass like a pack of hyenas. Like, that's what the fuck got going with that shit, real talk. We also talked about the murder on the ice rink, man. Rest in peace once again. I'll never forget that shit, man. I'm so shocked that this is not getting the proper news coverage it truly motherfucking deserves. The Clippers selling their soul for a fucking homecoming. We talked about the new coffins that turn people into trees and a man dying from a fucking pig heart transplant. Jesus fucking Christ. Yeah, man. With that being said, yo, DJ, drop that fire ass beat, my boy. Great episode, man. Episode 184. Thin line between genius and insanity, hosted by yours truly. OG! You know what the fuck going on, man. You know, I give up on this side, man. It's all of these ways. Never let them side trip with the bullshit. Always keep the main thing. Stay safe, stay sharp, stay sane. And that's just the episode, man. We out this motherfucker. Peace. I ain't gonna lie to you, man. Great episode. Episode 184, man. You know, with me looking at that those analytics earlier, man, and seeing that, you know, the show is getting all those impressions and shit like that. Still, if you ask me, I say with minimal promotion on my part, I feel like for the last month and a half, I've really been slacking, letting all this personal shit get to me. And it still got me fucked up, man. You know, whole hate crime shit, you know, working two jobs shit, personal life shit, whole bunch of shit. Really just adult shit, you know what I'm saying? It really ain't nothing too much bigger than just adult shit. But it's a lot, you know what I'm saying, to be going through all that one time. But that's the story of my life type shit. So I couldn't let that shit stop me from doing the pod. Although I did feel like my just production and overall just impact with the shit on all bases, on social media, TikToks, YouTubes, all that shit. Here and there, we put out some clips and they go crazy and stuff like that on the YouTube shorts and stuff. But I just felt like I could have done more. And to see that, me having that mentality and still seeing that where we got to and where we are going, I still have to sit back and think about the kid that was, you know, back in 2017. You know what I'm saying? Who first thought about doing this shit. I still got to think back to that kid, you know what I'm saying, who was doing the news for the high school, you know, so behind the scenes, trying to learn shit because I knew I wanted to be on TV one day. I still think about that kid who was watching First Take every morning, faithfully, looking at Stephen A. Smith saying, I want to be in that fucking seat. I still think about that kid, man, when you guys constantly show me time and time again that you love what the fuck I do and you truly support me, man. So with that being said, I love you guys. Let's keep building this empire brick by motherfucking me brick. Tell a friend that OG Hash got a fucking podcast. Let's keep building this motherfucking empire, man. Let's get this show in the right motherfucking me hands. Let's do what we came here to do, man. Drop content, fuck bad bitches, get money, and smoke good motherfucking me weed, baby.
Wow.
You know what the fuck going on, man. I holla at y'all when I holla at y'all, man. Peace.
Welcome to Raw is
OG.
Hatch, man, you know the fuck that nigga playing with me, man.
You dig?